This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone with a taxonomy of Trump tweets. Cognitive linguist George Lakoff believes that the press must understand how Trump uses language if we're going to responsibly report on those tweets and not just magnify their misinformation. He's come up with a few categories for thinking about Trump tweets, and the first is preemptive framing.
The idea of preemptive framing is to frame an issue before other people get a chance to put the idea out there first. For example, quote, "The only reason the hacking of the poorly defended DNC is discussed is that the loss by the Dems was so big they were totally embarrassed."
Right.
And the idea is that the hacking of the DNC was the default of the DNC.
Also, the idea that the Dems lost so big when, in fact, it was one of the narrowest losses in history. So that's all framed, so you have to go back and deconstruct the tweet before you can even address it.
Exactly. You have to understand what the framing is, and what the framing is he's trying to avoid. You know, he said, "In addition to winning the Electoral College in a landslide, I won the popular vote, if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally." Right? No reason to think anybody voted illegally, but what he's doing is trying to reframe the popular vote.
So let's move on to another category you talk about, the diversion tweet.
The diversion tweet occurs when there's some major issue that's come up. And what he'll do is do things like attack Meryl Streep. You know, Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood. She is a Hillary flunky who lost big. The idea is to get people on TV talking about Meryl Streep, not talking about the real issues. In this case, conflict of interest and the Russian hacking.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he had done the attack on Hamilton. You know, the cast and producers of Hamilton, which I hear is highly overrated, should immediately apologize to Mike Pence for their terrible behavior.
I think at that time, the big issue was his $25 million settlement over the Trump University case.
So that all the people on New York radio and TV and so on are going to talk about Hamilton instead of talking about Trump University.
Let's move quickly on to your third category, the trial balloon.
Right. Trial balloon. He says, "The United States must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capacity until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes." He's going to see how people react to this, and then he'll know what to do in the future. People were confused. They talked about, you know, nuclear proliferation a little bit, and then it went away. And then the fourth category is deflection,
mm-hmm.
where you attack the messenger. So they attacked BuzzFeed, CNN, the BBC, for putting out the discussion of the Russian leaks.
Putting out the entire dossier is arguably premature.
It is premature on the one hand. On the other hand, he's going to be in office in a week.
So there was one from Wednesday this week that you say embodies all four of these categories: preemptive framing, diversion, trial balloon, and deflection. I will read it. It is, "Intelligence agencies should not have allowed this fake news to leak into the public. One last shot at me. Are we living in Nazi Germany?"
First, preemptive framing. This is fake news. Secondly, diversion. It's going to be discussed whether or not it's fake news or should have been leaked rather than the content.
Right.
There's deflection, which is attacking the messengers. And then you get the trial balloon. Will the intelligence agencies be stopped from doing this? Are they working like Nazi Germany?
Obviously, you don't think the media are handling these utterances very well. What do you suggest that we do?
The media is addicted to breaking news. So we have to give the tweet first. That's the breaking news. Wrong. Because that allows him to manipulate you as a reporter and manipulate the truth.
So you're saying don't report on the tweet?
You begin by telling the truth and giving the evidence for that truth. Then mention his tweet, point out that that contradicts the truth, and then talk about what kind of tweet this is. You know, you say, this is a case of diversion. Here's what he is diverting. Quickly. Don't have a panel discussion about it. You know, just do it and go on. Keep going back to substance and the truth. also, what is the effect of his tweeting on the truth? He's trying to say, usually, that this truth is a general truth. And that's another thing that I should add to this list of the things he does, is to take a specific case and say that it's the general case.
Give me an example.
There's a rape or a murder, a shooting by a Mexican. He says they're rapists and killers. He does that all the time.
What do you call that?
Salient exemplar.
So the sort of extrapolation from one example is the salient exemplar. I like that.
And let me give you one more little thing.
Sure.
There's a difference between direct and systemic causation. So the lawyer at his press conference, who is dealing with conflicts of interest, took up the question of emoluments. Suppose another government books rooms at Trump's hotel. Is this a conflict of interest? What she said was, quote, "This is not what the Constitution says. Paying for a hotel room is not a gift or a present, and it has nothing to do with an office. It is not an emolument." Now, in general, paying one night for a hotel room might not be. Somebody who's dealing with the government, paying for a month of hotel rooms in a hotel that enriches Trump, is an emolument. It's indirect causation like that.
Mm-hmm.
You look at not just the particular of the frame, but the way in which that frame functions as part of a system.
So she says one night in a hotel room is the frame, and thereby removes from the table any kind of enrichment you can get from people spending any amount of money in your hotel.
Exactly. And what allows this to happen is every language of the world in its grammar allows direct causation. No language of the world in its grammar has systemic causation. There's a very good reason. Languages are learned by children. And little children learning languages don't know about systemic causation. For example, if I say I took a drink, you know, the assumption is I took a drink at a particular time at a particular place. That is direct causation.
And then you say, I take a drink. There's a tone there that suggests you didn't just take one, but you take one regularly.
Right. That is systemic.
So she used a particular simple grammar and thereby created a precedent for us to discount all hotel usages from there on out.
Exactly.
George, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Brooke.
George Lakoff is a cognitive linguist and author of several books, including Metaphors We Live By and Don't Think of an Elephant, Know Your Values and Frame the Debate.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.